in college trouble, Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. So Miami on a 3rd and 15, the kid Van Dyke threw a strike and completed it. They got the first down. That was a clutch throw because his second down throw was so pathetic. It was so bad. He threw it at the tight end 5 yards at his knees and he didn't catch it. They were 1st and 25 and they got the first down. And now they're moving the ball. They got it at the 45 of Virginia. It's 2nd and 5. They got to go down and score. They cannot play for a field goal. Don't play for a field goal. Play for a score. Go down and score a touchdown and beat them. You know, work the clock. You don't want to give the ball back to Virginia Mafia.
No, you can't give them that opportunity. Now that you've clawed back into this game, now that you have a chance to win, you cannot give them that ball back. You need to finish this.
Right, because their defense sucks so bad. They've given them 30 points, and the last time they stopped them was the first time I think they've stopped them the whole game. So what makes you think that they can stop them if they give them the ball back? Because all they'll need is if they kick a field goal, all they'll need is a field goal to win, right? It'd be 31-30, and they just need a field goal to win. So you cannot give them the ball back. I certainly hope Manny Diaz is smart enough to realize, and the coaching staff at the Canes, that they need to score a touchdown here. Screw that field goal. They need to melt the clock, go down, and score. Here's a big run for a first down. Another first down. Now they're at the 39. Now melt the clock and go down and score. Had enough of this crap. What do we got going here? Over the Bengals and the Jaguars. Tied at 21. It's fourth down. Jacksonville has to punt the ball. Lawrence is stopped, and now the Bengals are going to get the pill bag, and there's so much going on. Mavi is losing weight over here. He's dyspeptic, distraught, out of hand, and terse, livid. He's going to have to give me all of his college and pro picks tonight against the spread. He's under a tremendous strain. So I guess here, second down, they hand off to Knight, and he fumbles the ball out of bounds. So now they lost yards there. I think it's at least 2nd and 12 or 13, maybe more, 2nd and 13. They're still going to run it. But it's going to be 3rd and 6. That was a huge fumble there on first down. How stupid are you? You hand off to the guy and he fumbles the ball backwards 7 yards? I mean, gee damn, bro. Come on. This is the biggest play of the game. You know what? This is what confuses me. It's like I'm watching Miami settle for a field goal, and right now, if you ask me, they're at the 36. That's a bomb field goal for some kid from Miami. I mean, that's a 53-yarder from right here. They need a first down. They're going to run it. They're going to get it. Go, 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 go. Down to the 13. That's what I'm talking about, Bobby. Come on, Cane Day, Cane Day, Cane Day. Oh, there's the Cane cheerleaders. I love those girls. Looking good. Looking good, girlfriend. That was a big run on 3rd and 6, and they run the draw. What a clutch call there. That's a big game there. Now you got it down at the 14, 13-yard line. Now you go shove it down their throat. I like what I'm seeing, Mafia, from dead to wide-eyed and alive. They were dead in this game. Down 30 to 21. Down 27-14. Down 16 to 7. I mean, honestly, they wouldn't die tonight. They got to finish the deal here.
Now, does this comeback give you any love for Manny Diaz, or if they lose this game, does it not count at all? There is no moral victory against a team like Virginia.
No moral victory. They got to stuff it in, and this kid cannot screw this up. You cannot throw a pick here. They're 76% red zone scoring so far. 2 for 2 tonight. They need to, you know, score a touchdown. Now they're melting the clock. Timeout, Miami, I believe. Virginia called the timeout. Minute and a half left. They need to score a touchdown. That's it. That's all there is to it. We welcome our radio affiliate, SiriusXM, Mighty Ear 1090 in San Diego and all of Southern California. Yeah, yeah. Shadoobie. And Sports Map Radio in H-Town and Sports Byline USA in the Bay Area with Deepak holding it down. Armed Forces, hoorah, soldier, hoorah. It's Pharrell on the bench on a crazy Thursday night. We got a lot of action going here. Bengals with the pill at their own 10. Tie game, 5.5 minutes left. Burrow with the pill, trying to get it going. They get a first down here out to the 23. Miami's got the ball at the 13-yard line of Virginia with 1.5 minutes left. It is all evolving. Go with us. Mafia giving his picks tonight, plus McClune and Zona talking about the big game coming up at SoFi.
Don't have to listen to Sports Grid.
You can always go downtown.
Hey, babe, you want to go back?
Scour the sidewalks, find a penny, and pick it up. Or you can get the winning edge
right here.
And you won't get Tomey.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
I absolutely hate this decision by Manny Diaz to melt this clock down and kick a field goal to try to win the game. I mean, you got to be kidding me, Mafia. You get the ball down to the 13-yard line with 2.5 minutes left, and you sat there and melted the clock down to 2 seconds, and they're going to bring the kicker out. Now, odds are he makes it, right, from this distance, but don't tell me this is just a piece of cake, walk in the park, easy thing. I don't know why you didn't take some shots at the end zone and try to score a touchdown and win the game. I just 3.5 minutes left, you got the ball inside the 20, and you don't even go for it at all. They just sat there and melted the clock down, ran it up the middle, and then dove on the ground and let the clock run out to try to kick a Borealis field goal to win it. I mean, you got to be crazy. I won't be surprised at all the kid misses.
Yeah, I mean, I never trust college kickers. That's tough. I mean, I know you want to be, you know, smart and run it down and not take the chance of giving them the ball to try to score and win the game later on, but taking a big chance putting it on any college kicker.
I mean, I would have gone for the touchdown. What are you doing? Now, this is a straight kick. He should make it, but anything's possible. High snap. He missed it. Did I call that? He missed it. Are you kidding me? Did I just call that? You suck, bro. How bad was that decision? He hit the crossbar and missed it. He missed the upright. He hit the upright. You got to be kidding me. From dead out center, 30 yards. You suck. Manny Diaz should be fired tonight. They had the ball at the 13-yard line with 3 minutes left, and they didn't go for a touchdown. They waited to kick a field goal, and the hack-ass kid missed it. Did I call that or what?
You called it the whole time. You know, a lot of people would have disagreed with what you were saying, that no, you got to run the clock. No, you got to play it safe. It's, you know, an easy kick. Doesn't matter. There is no easy kick in college.
You said that too. There's no easy kick. They missed it. I mean, you got to be kidding me. You suck. Fire his ass tonight. How do you have the ball with 3 minutes left at the 13-yard line and you don't go for a touchdown? You don't try to score after they scored a touchdown and they moved the ball down the field and scored touchdowns to get back in the game. How do you not try to win that game? How do you not try to win that game? That is beyond me. That is the worst thing I ever saw in my life. Don't get me started. Don't let me get on Twitter and say anything. Oh, my God. Fire his ass tonight. That is the worst coaching job I've ever seen in my life. To put that in that kid's hands, and he missed it. The kid missed it. And I kept showing. Remember when he was standing on the sideline? I'm like, they're actually going to let this kid kick. And they keep showing the kid on the sideline practicing his kicks, and his teammates are patting him on the head and everything else. And then sure enough, they melt the clock down and let him kick, and he misses it. I mean, how bad do you suck? And how bad of a coaching job is that by Diaz? That's embarrassing. They had the ball first down at the 13, and they didn't go for it. They just sat there for 3 minutes and let the clock die. I cannot believe what I just saw. That is the most disgusting loss I've ever seen in my life. Oh, my God. My whole back is going to go out. I mean, I got like a knife in my back over watching Miami lose like that. You got to be kidding me. Holy shack. I mean, you got to be kidding me. Honestly, you've got to fire him, Mafia. How do you have the ball? Like, if I were in the post-game press conference right now, I would say, what in the Sam hell were you thinking? You've moved the ball down the field with Van Dyke at will to get back in the game. You worked your ass off to get back in the game. You scored touchdowns left and right to get back in the game. 27-21, 30-21, 30-28. You stop them. You move down the field. On third down and 15, you get a first down. You run the ball down to the 13-yard line. And then you start running up the middle and diving on the ball and quit playing. And then what happens? You give it to your kicker and he misses it. It was written all over it. When he was walking up to kick it, I go, it's dead center. He'll still miss. And there's too much pressure. It's just too easy. They should have gone for the touchdown. Instead, they go for the kick, and you pay the price. You pay the piper for your bad coaching, bad decision. I put it all on Manny Diaz. I don't even put it on the kid that missed it. I don't, because his coach put too much pressure on him. It was too easy. It was too easy of a kick. It was a 33-yard NFL extra point from dead center, and he shanked it left and hit the upright. And Diaz should be grilled. Why didn't you try to score a touchdown with 3 minutes left? What are you doing, bro? You're a wussy. He was afraid to go for the end zone. That is so unbelievable to me, Mafia. Oh,
he was playing it safe, and you know that's a guy coaching to try to save his job, not coaching necessarily to the Miami way. Yes, you know, a lot of people are coaching to win the game. You just doesn't matter what you win by, but you can't trust these kickers in college. You can't do that. You can't put it on that kid. Like you said, you know, it doesn't matter how much you trust him. It's not worth, you know, if you're playing the percentages, sure, in the NFL, you play it that way. And you just win the, you know, the 1 point game on the field goal. That's almost a near, you know, guarantee it's going to hit dead center that distance. In college, it's far from that. If you go and look at actual percentages, I'm not sure. I don't have those percentages. I'm not the number nerd, you know, crunching everything type, but anybody who watches college football knows that's probably a 50-50 kick in college. And if you're the University of Miami, you take those chances. What has he got to lose? They're not winning a national title this year. This isn't play it safe because we're worried about our playoff chances. This is, you need to save your job, and you need to show that you have the guts to make the big play. And he just showed he didn't.
I mean, that was so bad. It was just so awful. I don't even know what to say. I mean, it was so embarrassing. That did they not have the ball at the 13-yard line with at least 2:45 left? And they just effed around. They effed around with it and let that clock melt down. They let Virginia call two timeouts. Then they called a timeout to set up the kicker with 2 seconds left. It was just such a porous job by Manny Diaz coaching. Like, they never took one crack at the end zone. Not once. They didn't throw it. They ran it up the middle. They ran it up the middle. Like, they didn't even try. They didn't even try to score. And they had the ball with 3 minutes left at the 13. Why not try to score, punch it in, and win the game? And don't rely on a kicker who no one's ever heard of their entire life. Now, that kicker's suicidal. The Bengals just won the game 24-21 on a McPherson field goal. The Bengals win. They don't cover, but they win at 24-21, and they're 3-1 now for Zach Taylor. At least the Bengals got it right. And your boy Urban Meyer loses again. The Jags are 0-4. I thought they played a hell of a game tonight, though. I'll give you that. But they moved the ball down the field from their own 10. Set up McPherson with a chip shot. He nailed it. The Miami kicker couldn't nail a straight-ahead 33-yarder. He shanked it left, hit the upright. They lose. They suck. Monkey onions. And the Bengals are now 3-1 and styling. They were down 14-0 in that game tonight, and they came back, tied it, and then went down 21-14, came back, tied it, and then won it with no time left on a McPherson field goal. 24-21, Bengals Pharrell on the bench. Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
All right, Pharrell and Avenge. Mark McClune is our good friend out in the Valley from CBS 5 and 3TV in Phoenix. And he's on the bench again to talk about the Cardinals-Rams big game at SoFi on Sunday afternoon. How you holding up, Mark?
Doing great. Weather's cooling off out here in the desert, and we're trying to figure out, is this the biggest Cardinals-Rams game in the history of these two teams playing? Have they ever been, I guess, this good before?
Yeah, let me first ask you a question before we get into that, honestly, because I'm very angry right now. Did you watch the end of the Canes game with Virginia just a second ago?
You know what? I had it up. We were putting together something on, if is Chandler Jones a Hall of Famer? So I saw it was a winner. I didn't see what happened, though. How'd that one shake down?
Okay, well, what happened is that Miami was down the entire game. And they were down 16-7 at the half. They were down 9-0, 16-7, 27-14, 27-21, 30-21, then 30-28. They get the ball back. They got to go, 80 yards, whatever. They go down. They get it all the way down to the 13-yard line with 3 minutes left. 3 minutes left, they got the ball. And they moved it the length of the field. And they took it to the 13-yard line, and then Manny Diaz sits on the ball for 3 minutes, and they ran no plays. They ran the ball up the middle twice, and then on the third run, he just laid down the quarterback in the middle of the field, and with 2 seconds left, they called a timeout and brought out the kicker. And I said, they didn't even try for the end zone once, and the whole game you've trailed. And you have a chance to you move the ball down the field to get back in the game. You score touchdowns. The quarterback ran 30 yards for a score. And then you have a chance to score a touchdown and stick a knife in them. And instead, this moron coach melts the clock down for 3 minutes. And with 2 seconds left, the kid came out and he missed the kick. He hit the upright and they lost. And I think they should fire him tonight. It was the worst coaching job I've ever seen in my life. I'm so mad. It's hard for me to focus on talking to you because I'm a Canes fan, but I just thought it was the worst job of coaching I've ever seen in my life. All right. So since you missed it, let's talk about the Cardinals. I have said that, and I'm very angry. I have said that I like them to win the West. I said it. Mafia is my witness. I picked them to win the West. I've talked to you about them. I said, I love this team. I love Kyler Murray. I love B-Hop. I like everything about this team. I like JJ and Jones. I like, Cliff, the whole deal. And no one respects them to win that division. I mean, they're like, basically everyone's last place choice in that division. And I, you know, because everyone's, you know, all over the Rams and the Niners in Seattle. No one respects Arizona. Meanwhile, you and I both know how good they are. So here they are, undefeated, going into this game. Why is it that they can never beat the Rams?
That's the question we've been asking all week. You know, Kingsbury's friends with McVay, and a lot of his hire out here in Arizona was to be the next Sean McVay. So I think there's a lot of pressure there. You know, Kyler Murray, the first 2 years, I think you're seeing with the rookie quarterbacks in the league this year just how much growth he had to do. I mean, he still has a lot of growth. He's thrown a couple picks that have been, you know, kind of head scratchers. And if that happens again on Sunday, I don't think the Cardinals have a shot. But I think when you stack these teams up next to each other, there's a lot of talent on the field. And the Cardinals are still really upset about what happened last year, the final game of the regular season. They went to SoFi. They didn't play in front of any fans. All they needed to do is win one game and punch their ticket to the playoffs, and they lost to backup quarterback John Wofford, the former Arizona Hotshots starting quarterback out here. He's now with the Rams. And I think the Cardinals, this would be a monster win. The focus is there this week. They've been great at times. The talent's there, but there are still enough mistakes where you do kind of wonder, are they there yet? And if they make any of those mistakes, I think Matt Stafford will just eat them alive.
Well, I mean, what did you think when they were losing at the half in Jacksonville and they came back and stomped them 31-19? You guys had to be pretty stoked when you saw that. That was impressive.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's kind of a testament to the leadership that J.J. Watt has brought in, you know, is brought to the team, and an A.J. Green and some of these other veterans they brought in. It doesn't allow the team to panic. The team was so young the past 2 years, and there was so much on Kyler Murray to lead the team. And I think he was still trying to figure it out. Now he says he knows the offense like the back of his hand, and they don't panic when those plays happen, those negative plays. They at least haven't, you know, so far this year. You've seen Byron Murphy, the cornerback for the Cardinals. He's a local guy. He played his high school ball right here in the Valley and now playing for the Cardinals. He was the defensive player of the week last week with his two interceptions. One was a pick six that basically turned out the lights, you know, on the Jaguars. So I think that there's a confidence there, and I'm really interested to see when they hit adversity on Sunday in Los Angeles, and they will, if that leadership's still there. Can Chandler Jones get to the quarterback? Can we see J.J. Watt get to the quarterback? And how the secondary is going to hold up, because at the beginning of the season, we all thought Malcolm Butler was going to be the starting corner here in Arizona, and the former Super Bowl hero for the Patriots just up and retired, and it's a little stunning that they could survive something like that and still be 3-0.
Imagine, Mark, what would happen if Watt started playing football, because he hasn't done anything yet at all. And Jones has, Watt hasn't. And I'm a firm believer that Watt's going to turn it on. He hasn't done a thing yet. Imagine what happens when they finally get him producing on that defense. I mean, he had a couple tackles, but he needs to sack the quarterback. That's what he gets paid to do. And when they get him and Jones doing that together in concert, I think they're going to be wicked.
Yeah, and they have Marcus Golden on the other end, and he's a high-energy guy, and he hasn't really gotten going either. And he's a guy that just kind of plays like his hair's on fire, and a lot of depth on the defensive line. I think J.J. tweaked his hamstring the first day of training camp. And I mean, you know, maybe that was just like a report there to give him some more rest. But I don't think he had a lot of work leading up to the season. So maybe he's just getting his legs underneath him. You do wonder if those skills, you know, they're not where they used to be. But he's still pushing the pocket quite a bit. And defensive coordinator Vance Joseph said today that that's the key. If they want to beat Matt Stafford, you know, they can disguise as many coverages as they want. But, you know, he's seen them all. So if they can put pressure on Matt Stafford, that's what will change the game.
These are two really big games. I know they got to worry about the Rams, but then to turn around and have the Niners in Zona the next week, this is a huge little two-piece stretch.
Yeah, and then you got Cleveland after that. You got J.J. Watt taking on the Texans the next week, and then you got the Packers on Thursday Night Football. So we're all kind of sitting here in Arizona saying, okay, they're 3-0. So what's it look? You know, everybody likes because gambling's legal out here now, so everybody's kind of wondering where they're going to place their bets over the next couple weeks. You should bring the show out here and do a whole thing with us.
Right.
I think no one's going to go undefeated in the NFL, especially a 17-game season. So you know, where they are at the end of October, this could determine whether or not they're playing a home game out here for the playoffs. They certainly have the talent to do so. I think, you know, look in the next 3 weeks, you got this one, you got the Niners, you got the Browns, and you can come out of it 2-1. That is a win, especially when you consider the Malcolm Butler retirement. You know, Chandler Jones wanted a new contract. J.J. Watt pulled his hamstring. There was uncertainty about Larry Fitzgerald to start camp. This has been a real pleasant surprise out here for Arizona sports fans.
What about, like, the odds? Do you think of if I came out there to do a show or a couple shows for, like, a few days that I would never come home? Like, I mean, there's got to be, like, a prop bet up there on the board in Arizona now that Pharrell comes out to do some live TV shows and never returns home ever and just stays in the Valley forever.
I think, you know, you might be good until about, like, June 15th. And then I think you might rethink that decision. We're just sort of coming out of it. We had a real rainy summer. There's a bunch of mosquitoes now, and nobody – I mean, I'm from Texas, man. I mean, like, no one's ever seen these before, and we're just starting to cool off, and it keeps raining out here. It's been a strange summer out here. But we would definitely welcome you with open arms. And I think, you know, as far as, like, bucket list, like, I still want to go to Lambeau. I want to go see, like, a Champions League soccer game. I want to watch football with you just once on multiple screens with where you have, and I need to experience that and just the emotion that comes with it.
You're right. I think you're right. And I'm going to organize that. We got to make that happen. I'm going to see Mahomes play the Eagles Sunday. I'm going gambling in Atlantic City all day Saturday, 24-hour bender at the just tables. And I got a suite the size of Nevada that I'm staying in. It's just going to be ugly. And then I'm going to go watch Mahomes. Next week, I'm going to see the Broncos and Steelers. I got to organize a trip to Zona. By the time I get to racially motivated Arizona, because you know I love it out there, lived in Flag. It's a great spot. Mark, I love you. It's always good catching up. Let's hope the Cardinals cover and beat the Rams. I think it'd be fantastic. I'll be rooting for them. Always good catching up with you, brother. Thanks for coming on the bench.
Absolutely. Anytime. Great talking to you.
Mark McClune of CBS in Phoenix with us as the Rams and Cardinals, one of the games of the week, Mafia. And when we come back, Mafia, very excited to give his locks for college and pro. We'll hit the biggest games in college football, and then we'll run through the pros as well. We got a lot to do here in this last big chunk segment. So Mafia is going to be under a tremendous amount of strain and stress.
May or may not be a good Sports Grid listener.
Test yourself.
If you've ever panicked at realizing you've lost your lucky troll doll, you may not be a good Sports Grid listener. Sports gaming strategies and info. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
So people are actually arguing with me on whatever social media that they did the right thing, Miami, and you got to make the kick. And the, you know, melting the clock down and a straight ahead 30 yarder, it was 33 yards, that the kids got to make the kick. And I couldn't disagree more. Not only could I not disagree more, I called it with Mafia, who also called it. We both called it live on the air that he'd miss. Mafia said, you cannot trust a kid, a kicker in college. And he said, I don't trust him. And then I said, he got a miss because they set it up for him to miss. They melted the clock down with 3 minutes to go from the 13-yard line. They had every chance in the world to score a touchdown and bury them and cover. They would have covered the 4.5 if they scored a touchdown and melt the clock that way. Pound the rock down, put it in, give Virginia less than 40 seconds to go 60 yards, and then try a 50-yard field goal, right? And I don't like their odds of moving it 50, 60 yards and kicking the field goal and making it. I think all those things, having to move it down 50 yards, having to line up and kick a 50-yard field goal, I don't like their odds. That's what I would have done. I said it 100 times when it was happening. When they got down to the 13 and laid on it and just started running the ball up the middle and not trying, you heard me on the air live the whole night say, they are going to lose this game because of this coaching, because of this decision, this terrible decision to not try to score a touchdown. After you were down the entire game, you fought your way back, and you're scoring now at will on Virginia. Why don't you score a touchdown and beat them? Instead, a true freshman kicker comes in and shanks it off the upright. You lose. I don't care what anybody says. You're wrong. I'm right. Diaz should be fired. It was a terrible job of coaching, and he asked to lose that game, and he did. The gods gave him exactly what he asked for. Screw him. He sucks as a coach. He'll never live down that loss right there because he had the game won. Mafia, you know as well as I do, they scored at will. They moved the ball down the field and scored and got back in the game. Why not go stick it down their throat one more time and win the game?
Yeah. I mean, yes, if you're playing the percentages, if you're playing analytics, that is the correct play. But that's also the safe play. And you can't play it safe all the time when you're in a game like this. You got to play it by feel sometimes. And you know what that shows me? It shows me not that he played the right way or he played it the way the numbers told him. It shows me he doesn't trust his defense. If you trust your defense, then you go, you score that touchdown, not right away. You don't give him 3 minutes to score, but you run it down a little bit, but you try to, you know, kill some clock and still try to hit the end zone. And then if you can't, you kick it, not you settle for it that far out.
That's right. That's exactly right. All right, we got to haul ass now. We got a lot to do. Tomorrow night, Friday night, Iowa and Maryland at College Park. Iowa's laying 3.
Listen, I know Iowa's got a big, you know, number five ranking. I'm going to take a chance on Maryland here with the upset. They put up some points. They played some tough games. I'm going to take a chance on them.
BYU laying 9.5 at Utah State.
Utah State's got a nice record there at home, but BYU has been kicking ass. I'm going to take them laying that 9.5.
Saturday, Cincinnati laying 1.5 at Notre Dame.
I'm taking Cincy all the way. I don't trust Cohen. Pine looked good in that little spurt against Wisconsin, but they had trouble against Wisconsin, who had a terrible quarterback. That was a stupid pick by me to go with Mertz. I'm taking Cincinnati to pull the upset.
Arkansas and Georgia. Georgia's laying 18 in Athens.
This one's really dangerous because I love Arkansas. I think they have a great defense and running game just like Georgia. I think their quarterback is better than JT Daniels. But we don't know his status. We got to see what KJ's, you know, if he's going to play in this game or not. JT Daniels has a lat issue, too. He's banged up. I'm going to take Arkansas to cover, but I still think Georgia wins.
Michigan at Wisconsin. Wisconsin's laying 2.
Yeah, I'm not going back-to-back weeks on Mertz. I don't care if they're actually home in this game. Michigan is a lot better than they've been in years. I'm going to take them to get the win there.
Louisville and Wake at Wake. Wake's laying 7.
I'll take Wake to win, but I don't trust them to cover 7. I don't care what that number is next. I don't care if they're actually ranked this year. Louisville's a tough team. I'll take them to cover a touchdown.
Monroe at Coastal. Coastal's laying 34 and a hook.
Coastal easy.
Ole Miss in Alabama and Tuscaloosa. Brian Denny, Alabama laying 14 and a hook.
Listen, this isn't going to be, you know, a big defensive struggle here. Obviously, Ole Miss doesn't have defense. They put up a ton of points. Alabama can put up points with Bryce Young. I think this is similar to what we saw last year with them, the back-and-forth shootout game. That hook makes me feel like I can go Ole Miss to cover the spread.
Oregon and Stanford and Palo Alto. Oregon's laying 8.
Stanford's had some nice wins here and there, but I think Oregon's just the best team in the Pac-12 by far. I think they're going to cover even on the road.
Oklahoma at Kansas State in Manhattan, Kansas. I got the Crabs there once. Oklahoma laying 11.5.
I feel like Oklahoma might get the Crabs there too. I mean, I just don't trust this team at all. Spencer Rattler coming up with all this hype. Oklahoma with all this hype. They can't cover a damn spread to save their life on the road. I'm not going to take them laying double digits.
Ohio State in Piscataway against Rutgers. Ohio State's laying 15.
Rutgers just gave us a nice cover against Michigan last week with some backdoor action, some comebacks. After Michigan was, you know, up pretty well, I don't see them hanging with Ohio State. I know Ohio State hasn't looked great. They haven't looked like themselves. I still think this is going to be the one game Rutgers blows and looks terrible in.
Florida in Lexington against Kentucky. Florida's laying 7.5.
Listen, Kentucky's looked good this year. They've had a strong season so far, undefeated. But they're not going to hang with Florida. Florida's on a different level. They have, you know, getting back to what they were last year. They're not exactly what they were. They're not as good, but they're pretty damn good. They're going to win and cover.
North Carolina State and Raleigh is 3-1. They're laying 18 to Louisiana Tech 2-2.
If you could beat Clemson, you could beat Louisiana Tech by 20 points. I'm going with the Wolfpack.
Mississippi State at College Station against A&M. A&M's laying 7 with their crappy quarterback, Calzano.
Yeah, but we haven't seen anything from our boy, the swashbuckler, Mississippi State. I want to root for them. I want to pick them. I just can't. I can't put my heart and my money there because he hasn't shown me anything so far since he's been there. A&M wins and covers.
Baylor and Oklahoma State in Stillwater. Oklahoma State laying 3.5. Both teams 4-0.
There's always that one game that once you believe in Oklahoma State, once they get a number next to them, they get some rankings, they get some hype, that they choke and blow it and make you scratch your head. I think this is the game against Baylor, who's playing really well so far this year.
Indiana at Penn State. The Nittany Lions are laying 12.5. Revenge game here.
I think it is. I'm sorry. It's going to be a bad weekend for all your teams. Indiana is going to get shellacked by Penn State. Penn State is on a different level than they are.
Western Kentucky and Michigan State and East Lansing. It's 10.5, Sparty.
Sparty's playing well. Sparty just kicked, you know, Miami's ass down in Miami. Sparty's pretty tough this year. Western Kentucky's nothing to write home about at all. Michigan State wins and covers.
BC getting 14.5 at Clemson in Death Valley.
Listen, you look at the schools there and you say automatic Clemson runs over them. I'm not doing that this year. Clemson isn't the same. They've looked terrible. They're losing other guys to injuries. Boston College has played really tough. Now, it hasn't been, you know, to the level of Clemson, but I think they can cover this game. I'm sure Clemson's going to win down in Death Valley. But I'm going to take BC to cover the spread.
Auburn, LSU, and Baton Rouge at night, 9 o'clock Eastern. LSU laying 3 under the lights. It's a tough day to beat them there under the lights.
Yeah, it is, because I don't trust Bo Nix. I haven't liked him in his time at Auburn. He's never really lived up to what people, you know, pumped him up as when he came in as a freshman. I would love to pick LSU to pull the upset, and I think that they should, being at home, but I think Auburn's still the better team right now. Without Burrow, LSU isn't the same. I'm going to go Auburn and take a big chance that they pull the upset in Death Valley.
Wow. Arizona State, UCLA at the Rose Bowl, UCLA laying 3.
I think UCLA needs to have a good showing here to bounce back and get back in, you know, the picture of being one of the best teams in the Pac-12. I think they cover that 3.
And then Fresno's laying 10.5 at Hawaii on the Big Island.
Listen, Fresno should shellack them. They should destroy them. But after what we saw from them last week, now they got to go to the island. I don't trust them. I think they're going to win, but they're not going to cover that 10.5.
The Packers game is down to 6.5, Mafia. Take note of that for PharrellOnTheBench.com. I love that number. And who do you like?
Take note of that. I'm going to run to the window and bet that right now. Packers, less than a touchdown against the Steelers, who are in shambles right now. I'm taking Green Bay.
Buccaneers and Pats Sunday night in Foxborough. Tampa's laying 7.
And they should be laying 17. They're going to destroy them.
Washington and the Falcons in Hot Town. Washington's favored by 1.
Yeah, this is one I'm staying away from with my money. But if you need, you know, gun to my head, who's going to go? I think Washington at least has a good defense, better defense than Atlanta. Atlanta's tough, scrappy, but I'm going Washington on the road.
I saw the Bills at 15.5. I don't know if it's still there over the Texans in Buffalo.
They should destroy them. I don't care if he used to coach there in the first year of Allen. I think the Bills are going to destroy them because they're just 10 times better.
All right, Lions, Bears at Soldier Field. Bears laying 3.
Yeah, another game I'm not putting action on, but if you're going to pick one team, I'd pick the Lions. They should have had 2 games. You know, they could have come back and got a win here. They got beaten by that kick last week. I'm not seeing anything from Fields that makes me excited for him yet.
Panthers and Cowboys at Jerry's World. Dallas laying 4.
This is the game that Carolina comes back down to earth. They had an easier schedule to help them out to that, you know, 3-0 victory, that 3-0 record so far. The Cowboys are on a different level, especially without CMC. They're going to beat their ass.
Colts, Dolphins in Miami. Miami's laying 2. Do the Colts finally win a game?
Oh, man, this is an ugly game. Who knows what's going to be going on, you know, with Wentz, if he can stay healthy in this game. He's got those ankles. I'm going to take a chance with Miami at home. I think Brissett can pull this one out after what he showed against Vegas.
Browns, Vikings, and mini. Cleveland's laying 2. Road fave.
The Vikings have looked good at times, and then they've, you know, made you worry at times. The Browns have been solid overall. I know you're on the Vikings. I know you like them after the upset against Seattle. I'm going to take the Browns here on the road, though.
Giants, Saints. Saints laying 7. I got it at 8.5.
That's a big number since you don't know who the Saints are yet, but they actually have a defense. The Giants are terrible. You know, they make you look okay at times, but they still have not gotten that win. I'm going to take the Saints to win and cover at home, the first game back down to the Dome.
And Titans land 6.5 at your Jets.
Yeah, they're going to murder them. Derrick Henry is going to run all over them all day.
Chiefs, Eagles, I'm going to the game. Kansas City land 7 in Philadelphia.
This one, you know, I think it's going to be better than you expect. I think the Chiefs are a much better team, but their defense is anything to write home about. I think Hurts can get things going a little bit, but still the Chiefs are going to kick their butts probably by 10.
Cards, Rams, SoFi, Rams laying 4. I got it at 6.
That is the game of the day to me. This is going to be my favorite one to watch. I think this is going to be awesome back and forth between these two teams. I just think the Rams' defense has been a little more consistent than the Cardinals. They had a great week winning against the Titans. Haven't really shown up as much since. I'm going to take the Rams to win at home.
Seahawks, Niners at Levi's, San Fran land 2.5.
Garoppolo looked good last week fighting against, you know, your boy Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay back and forth on that Sunday night game. The Seahawks have looked good on the deep ball, but still haven't really gotten the running game going. They still have their defense not doing anything. So I'm going to take the 49ers here at home.
And the Ravens, Broncos at Mile High, and it's a pick 'em.
This is another, you know, team like Carolina. I think the Broncos schedules help them to this record. Not that the Ravens are the team that we've seen in the years past. They're tough, but, you know, they let teams hang around. They make it really ugly so far this season. So I think that the Ravens win this game, even though the Broncos have had a nice start to the year.
And Monday night, Chargers land 3 to the Raiders.
I'm going to take Chargers because they're home. I think it's going to be a great back-and-forth game, but I'm going to take L.A.
All right, so when we come back, I'll give you the baseball scores late at Chavez Ravine. Dodgers are up a run. I'll tell you about the Giants and Diamondbacks, a good one going on at Oracle. And those are the only two games left that are going on. It's Pharrell on a bench.
My buddy's a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada, so he hears you crystal clear. I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
So the Dodgers are up again in a good game with the Padres. It's 4-3 going to the bottom of the sixth. And the Diamondbacks and Giants are 4-4, bottom six at Oracle. Giants up, nobody on, nobody out, and it is what it is. In terms of the big games tonight, the Red Sox lost. The Yankees won at Toronto 6-2. They had a big 4 home runs in that game, 3 in a row at one point, basically with Rizzo, Judge, and Torres in the sixth inning. And that was gigantic. The Astros clinched the West. They won over the Rays 3-2. The Braves clinched the NL East. They beat the Phillies 5-3. Those are the only games that mattered. Seattle did not play. But as far as right now goes in the wild card, because the National League's already been determined, but in the AL, Yanks by 2 games for the top spot. Boston and Seattle are now tied for the second spot. Toronto's a game behind them, and they're a full 2 behind the Yankees, and they don't play them anymore, and there's only 3 games left. The Yankees start up a set with the Rays tomorrow night in the Boogie Down Bronx. 3 games Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We'll be live at 4 p.m. Eastern tomorrow on Coast to Coast, and we'll see you again tomorrow night on the bench at 10 Eastern, so we'll be good to go. Tomorrow, we got a lot going on the TV side and the radio side. Get you set up for the weekend. Then I'm off to Atlantic City and Philadelphia to see the Eagles and the Chiefs. Good night, everybody.